Good to see everybody this morning. Happy Resurrection Day. So glad you're here with us this morning. If you have your bulletins, if you can stand with me as we read our scripture reading together. And if you don't have a bulletin this morning, you can follow along on the TV behind us this morning. This morning we'll be reading from John 17, 1 through 5. And aren't these bulletins beautiful? They're just, I love the artwork. I love everything Yvonne puts into these. They're just a beautiful, beautiful thing. John 17, verses 1 through 5. Let's begin. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Amen. You may be seated. We dismiss our children this morning. Well, so good to see everybody here this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you'll open to Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be continuing our study in Colossians this morning. And our title this morning is, "I Want to Know You." I want to know you. And this morning, as we come together and as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, as we as believers, it's not just once a year. This is an everyday celebration. And traditions and the church, you know, has celebrated a specific Sunday. But even as Paul is writing the letter that we're in now, and we're going to get to, maybe not this week in this one section, but we're going to get to the part about, it's not about celebrating a day. It's not about, you know, the certain things and the do's and the don'ts, and you do this day, and you do this that day, and all of those things. While we do have this day of celebration, it's so important as believers that we come together understanding that this day is just like every other day. There is not another day that is any more important or any less important since the day Jesus Christ rose from the dead and ascended to the Father. So as we choose to celebrate this day and we come together, and we here at Calvary Chapel, River Oaks, call it Resurrection Sunday. I think Easter itself has been kind of grasped by the world, and it's become about the bunny rabbit and the Easter eggs and all the stuff like that. And it's for the kids. You've got to do it for the kids. And hey, I understand it. But you got to understand too that I don't want anything to take away from what the Bible teaches us about His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to mix things together. I don't want to have a hodgepodge and a big pot that we stir up and say, "Happy Easter! Get an Easter egg! Let's do all these fun things." Today is a day we celebrate. And we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful event that completed the redemption of man back to the Father. That's who we are in Christ. We are redeemed. We are now adopted into the kingdom of God. And as we continue our study in Colossians, this gives us a beautiful picture of what this truly means for us. Because what the scripture tells us is that now that we've accepted it and we have the foundation, you don't ever move away from the foundation of Jesus Christ. You build upon it though. You build upon it. And the foundation of Jesus Christ, who He is, the gospel, how He came, how He died, how He rose again, and how He's now with the Father, is a wonderful, wonderful story that's true. But now it's time to build upon that and understand, what does that mean for us as believers? Who are we in Christ? What has Jesus truly done for us besides the act that He performed, which only He could do? By dying on the cross for us, because we were not worthy to come back to the Father unless there was a sacrifice made. But I want you to understand this morning, what Jesus did was not a religious act. It wasn't a religious act. It was a relational act. And so many times we get wrapped up into the religiosity and the religion of Christianity, and we miss the fact that it's a relationship, and what Jesus did was a relational thing. The scribes and the Pharisees in Jesus' day were all about religion. They were so much into religion that they missed their very Messiah that came for them. But they could tell you what you were supposed to do, when you were supposed to do it, how you were supposed to do it, what you were supposed to wear when you did it, and how your face was supposed to look when you did it too. That's what they practiced. When they prayed real loud and long prayers so everyone would know how religious they were. When they would give the money, they made sure that they made a big to-do and made sure that everybody saw how much money they gave. And what did Jesus say? He said, the widow with the one mite gave more than they gave, no matter how much more money they gave than she did. She gave all of herself. It was a relationship. She understood it while the scribes and the Pharisees missed it. And it was all in the midst of their religiosity. And Jesus called them out over and over. And he said that in their religion, they didn't know God. Because if they knew God, they would know Him also. And if they knew Him, they would know God the Father. John 8:19 says, then they said to Him, where is your Father? And Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would know my Father also. And He goes on to say, I and my Father are one. And so they missed it because it was about religion. It was about sometimes celebrations. It was about doing the things of God. And God doesn't, He's not concerned with the acts of man except one act that we do, and it's from the heart out, and that is, I believe. I receive. And I'm going to walk in that, and I'm going to know that. And this is spoken on a personal, relational level as Jesus spoke this. He's telling the Jews, as He's telling all of us today, to get away from our religious works. Receive the fullness of what God has for us by faith. And that's where we find ourselves this morning in our study in Colossians. Paul is writing to the church in Colossae that Jesus is all they need as a relationship. He's all you need. It's in Him that we find the fullness of God. And Paul, in chapter 2 of our study, is addressing two problems. He's addressing, number one, the philosophers that are trying to worm their way into the church. And they're trying to over-explain things through man's intelligence and man's wisdom to the point that they've moved away from the gospel and aren't introducing heresy to the church. And that was one of the issues that was going on at that time. And they're saying, you know, we have a new revelation. Only our group has it. You know, our leader went off to the desert and spent a month, and he has a vision that nobody else has. I'm sorry. That's not how it works. The Bible is complete. The Word of God is true. The revelation is Jesus Christ. Anything other than that is heresy. And anything you add to that to say Jesus isn't enough is heresy. And that's what they were dealing with at that point. And Paul was addressing that. And second, there's those who are trying to bring the church back under legalism. They're trying to say, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. Oh, yes, you have to do this. You have to do it this day. You have to eat this. You can't eat that. And all of these things, actually, we're going to discuss in next week's message as we get there. But they were trying to say you have to do all these extra things, or at least to earn your salvation or earn your place, to seal, to make sure you're really truly saved, you got to do all these things. It's legalistic view of what Jesus did, and Jesus completed it all. It's done. It's finished. Now, Paul addresses both of these issues in this letter, but we have to understand that today we still face the same issues. We still have the groups that are trying to come out and say, oh, we've got it. Even some to the point that are so close to Christianity as far as their beliefs, but they take certain things and build upon the things of that. Like, for instance, the group that says you have to be baptized. If you're not baptized, you're not saved. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does say be baptized. But the Bible doesn't say that you won't make it to heaven if you fail to get baptized. And that same group also tells you that you have to be baptized in our church. It doesn't matter if you've been baptized before. That's not good enough. You have to be baptized in our group or you're not truly saved. And that's a legalistic view that we have even in our culture around us today. And many, many others that have kind of filtered in and they've worked their way into the church and started their own cults, their own groups, saying, we have the answer. We have the light. Well, you cannot be enlightened unless you first have the light. Jesus is the light. And we'll touch on that again in a moment. But right now, let's begin with Colossians chapter 2, verses 1. Well, actually, verse 1 here. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. Now, I want to take just a moment here and look at the wording that's used here. And he says a great conflict. Paul is torn inside as he's writing this letter because he knows what people are trying to do to infiltrate the church. He knows what's happening out there and he's really torn. He's hurting over this. The Greek word for conflict is agon. And figuratively what this means, it's an effort or it's an anxiety. It's a contention, a fight or a race. And Paul is contending here. He's contending against these false teachers coming into the church. He's fighting against what is being spoken. He's coming and he's saying, this is wrong. Go back to the gospel. And all through Colossians here, he returns to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He returns to the foundation of the gospel, just again reassuring and reaffirming in the hearts of the people, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. So in other words, Paul, he's all worked up. He's writing this letter. He's all worked up. And this wonderful church that he praised in the beginning of the letter, they love each other. They love the Lord. They have so much going for them, but they're at a place of vulnerability because of these people coming in and beginning to speak things that are not true. And Paul doesn't take it lightly. And so he is in a fight. He is in a fight. He's contending with the enemy, but we also know this is a spiritual war. And see, this is where we have to understand too, that there are forces, there are demons out there, there's Satan himself out there trying to stir the pot, trying to get people off track, trying to trip people up, trying to confuse people. And you come in with somebody who speaks very good, very eloquently, has all the right things to say, knows how to get you motivated at the right moment in the speech, gets everybody all excited, and begins to put this stuff out. And people are like, wow, well, it sure sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Well, some politicians sound like they know what they're talking about, but if you really listen to them, they never say anything. And he's going circles. Well, I'll answer that question, but first, let me say this. And he never gets back to the question. Well, this is how these people were acting. And Paul knew that the leading force behind it was a spiritual battle. And he was addressing it as such. 2 Corinthians 10 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. What we have to understand is that these heavenly hosts, these wicked spirits, have to have something to work through. What do they work through? Men and women who do not accept Jesus Christ. They're vulnerable. Oh, they think they know what they know. They think they're in control of their own lives, but they're not in control of anything. And they're being used as pawns by the enemy. Now, on the contrast of that, as believers, we've submitted our hearts and we've submitted our lives to Jesus Christ. We're not our own. But we're not controlled unwillingly. We are directed and led willingly because we know that God's way is better than ours. And we know that His Spirit is true. And we know that everything that He chooses to do in us both the things we understand and the things we don't understand, are all to glorify Him and for our good. That's what it's about. That's what the Word teaches us. So we're in this position here, as we see Paul, of having to address these problems. He knows it's a spiritual battle. And so he's going to continue to be in the battle. Ephesians 6:12 says, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers." And I think I just read this, but I'm reading it again. Obviously, we need to hear it again. "Against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." It's a spiritual battle. And as believers, understanding fully what Jesus did on the cross and when He rose again, and understanding that we accept that truth and we walk in that faith and we're completely, totally submitted to Him, we have to understand that we are now in this battle. But we're on the winning side. It's already completed. And we have to walk through our part here. But Jesus conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered hell. He conquered it all. And it's by faith that we walk through what we go through in this world. Paul is in a spiritual war, and he knows that the church has to remain steadfast to the truth of the gospel and not be swayed. And that's what he's addressing here. Now, verses 1b through 3, it says, "And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Do you see that picture? In Jesus Christ, all the treasures of wisdom in heaven are revealed. The problem that the church has today is they're not asking for the wisdom. And if they ask for it, as James said, you got to ask believing, or you're asking in vain. Because you have to have faith to please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. You can't work for it. You can't do this. You can't go out and do all these things. It's faith. It's belief. It's understanding. It's submission. It's laying it on the table and saying, "God, I may not understand everything, but I pray for wisdom. I pray for knowledge. I pray for understanding." And if you have a heart that has come before the Lord and you've confessed your sin, you've repented from your sin, and you're truly in a place on your knees to say, "I want more of you and I want less of me," God is going to give you what you're asking for. He's going to give you the wisdom. He's going to give you the discernment. He's going to give you the understanding. And Paul is continuing here with his exhortation to the church of Colossae to be encouraged to attain the true blessings of God. Not the physical blessings, not the material blessings, the true blessings of God, which is knowledge, wisdom, understanding, discernment, and then the Holy Spirit in us gives us the fruit of the Spirit, which is the love, the joy, the peace, all of the things that come with being in relationship with Jesus Christ are given to us because first we believe and secondly we desire Him above anything else. To truly know Him, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, it can't come from religion. It can't come from religion, but it comes from relationship. If you think you can figure it out just by reading it, and this many men have done this, by the way, they read something and they decide they're going to draw a hard line of what it means, and they are in no more position to bring that forth than I am or anybody else, because we don't have the fullness right now in this finite mind. We don't have the full understanding to know everything about God. But what He wants us to have is to have the desire to know everything. And in that desire, don't get out of that humility by believing you do have all the answers. Because you won't. You won't have them all. But He'll give you what you need. He will give you what you need. And as you're growing in Him, you're going to find that there are many books and there's many things written about many things in the Bible. And I don't discourage you to read those. I think it should be good that you read these things. Go through them. Pray over them. But allow the Holy Spirit to teach you what you need to know in your own study as well. Because if you're not reading the Word, but reading about the Word, you're missing something. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is our God. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the wisdom and gives us the discernment. So yes, study and read. But make sure that in our study and reading that we are not just studying what other people have written about. Because what can happen if you're not careful, you read too much of everybody else's writings and you walk away a little confused. Well, that's not what so-and-so said. Well, you know, that's not what they said either. And the next thing you know, you're questioning things yourself that maybe God didn't even want you to ponder on right now. Ponder on Him. Meditate on Jesus. Meditate on His Word. And allow Him to do the work. Religion can only bring tradition, philosophy, legalistic rules and regulations. It can't bring you freedom. You won't find freedom in religion. As a matter of fact, if you think you want to be religious, you'll find yourself in more bondage than you can shake a stick at. Because religion will keep you bound up, tied up, doing this, doing that, all thinking you're doing something for God. And God says, quit all that stuff. Unless I tell you to do it, don't do it. And another part of that the church can realize and needs to realize today is that we all need to be seeking what God is doing and wants to do through us as willing vessels. Use us as we are here and empty before You. Pour into us what we need. Don't always volunteer for everything that you see needs to be done. Now, believe me, there's things that need to be done. But if we're all submitted to the Holy Spirit, God will raise somebody up to do those things. And it will be a blessing to them to do them. But the one thing that will happen, if you're doing something because it has to be done and nobody else is doing it, and you feel like, well, I got to do it, you're going to get burnt out. You're going to get tired. You're going to get bitter. And you're going to want to walk away from it. Next thing you know, you may be out of fellowship with your other brothers and sisters because, well, I did that. And I did all those things. And this is what I got out of it. Well, you reap what you sow. You need to be in the Word. Seeking wisdom, seeking discernment. These things of God can't bring you closer to God because it's something that you're required to do routinely as your duty. Religion is all about works, and true Christianity is all about faith and knowing God in relationship, not just knowing about God through religion. Titus 1:16 says, they profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for their every good work. And Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. All that we read when we really begin to dive into the Word is how much we need to know Him. He's all we need. He fulfills every need. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law. So there's nothing else in the law that needs to be completed now. No more sacrifices. No more religious acts. No more things of the law. It's all completed in Him. And we are in Him. So therefore we are all completed in Him. It's right here. It's right in front of us. But our own minds sometimes block the way of understanding what God wants us all to have in a relationship with Him. Is it that simple? Yeah. It's that simple. Verses 4 through 8. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus in the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him. And established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. This verse 8 in particular, is a very powerful verse for us to grab a hold of. we need to be aware. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. There are people who want to trick, who want to come in to deceive, all by the spirit of the enemy to try to break up, destroy, kill, steal, and destroy. That's what the enemy wants to do. And we in Christ need to understand, we need to be aware that we're not cheated through man's ideas, man's ways, man's understanding. It's empty. There's nothing there. A lot of flattering, fluffy words, but there's no meat, there's no substance. And it's deception. And it's all according to traditions of men. This is why, as I opened this morning and talked about this day, we do celebrate this day, and it is tradition that we celebrate this day, but it's not about this Sunday. It's about every day. Today, if you'll hear His voice. Today, if you'll walk in His Spirit. Today, if you'll receive Him, then you can enter into His rest. And I encourage you, make that today. And once you've done that, then you make it tomorrow. And you make it the next day, and the next day, because it's a relationship. And you're doing from your heart what religion does through your hands. You're submitting, you're believing, you're giving. And it's all according to Jesus Christ, not according to the principles of the world. Now, Paul here is encouraging the church to remain in the simplicity of the gospel as they're taught, as their foundation, and not allow anyone or anything to draw them away from this foundation of Jesus Christ. It's so, so important. I know it, in a sense it may seem like, well, that's kind of a contradiction. You said we're supposed to move away from the gospel. No, we don't move away from the gospel. We build on it. You always have the gospel of Jesus Christ on your heart, on your mind, speaking those words from your tongue to others, from one to another, encouraging one another in love through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the foundation of who we are in Christ. But there's so much that He wants to pour into you to get you from drinking the milk of the Word to chewing on the meat of the Word. The Word of God is your substance. It's what's going to sustain you. It's what's going to carry you. It's what's going to give you the strength you need. Food, natural food for the stomach, you eat it, you digest it, it's gone. The Word of God, you chew on that, you digest that, it doesn't go away. It grows in you. It becomes your strength. It becomes everything that you need in every situation. It's the living Word, as Hebrews calls it. The living Word. It's not something you can read once and put down and say, well, I've accomplished that off my bucket list. I've read the Bible now. No, that's not how you approach the Word of God. You approach the Word of God knowing that it's your strength, it's your security, it's your foundation, it's your boundaries. It's everything that He needs it to be in you when you choose to believe it and you choose to receive it and you choose to walk in it. But we need to know it. We need to know the Word. We don't need to be pulled and tugged with questions by people who throw out these big, long, eloquent whatevers. Matter of fact, I encourage you to ignore those. Move away from them. If somebody spends too much time with too many big words that you're kind of scratching your head over trying to answer a question, I'd move on to somebody else and say, no, that ain't what it means. It means Jesus loves you and He died for you. Accept Him. Receive Him. Let's go. Come on. I don't know much, but I know I love you. Well, anyway. It's another song out there somewhere. Now, in the day of Paul, there were some that were called Gnostics. And they've been trying to infiltrate the church. A Gnostic is a fancy word for philosophy or philosopher. That's really, when you bubble it down, that's kind of what it means. The actual word means having knowledge. So they thought they had knowledge over and above the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is a modern name for a variety of ancient religious ideas and systems. It originated in the Jewish reading sometimes of the Torah and other biblical writings. And these systems that they would come up with, this is a prime thing here. It induced that the material world is created by, listen to this, I don't even want to read this out loud, it's so stupid, but it is what it says. the material world is created by an ignorant emanation of the highest God. My highest God's not ignorant. And anybody who claims He is the ignorant one. But they say it's trapping the divine spark within the human body. And this divine spark could be liberated by gnosis, or having knowledge of the divine spark. So let me try to see this. In order to be set free from your ignorant place and be enlightened to have knowledge, all you have to do is realize that you have knowledge of this divine spark inside you, and that's all you got. It's done. Oh yeah, that spark, I got that spark. Well, that settles it all now, doesn't it? It's the terms like I think, therefore I am. Or find your euphoria in your inner self. Without Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit in you, you can search the deepest, darkest caverns of your soul and you will not find freedom. You'll find more bondage. You'll find more ways of inventing bondage. And you'll find and network with other people who are trying to put you in bondage. All claiming that they have a freedom. I think because He gave me the ability to think. I have a brain because God created such an intricate machine. Well, not in my case, but in your cases. An intricate machine that works and chugs along on a rapid pace. And no man, no scientist, nobody has ever been able to understand and figure out the human brain. Every study after study after study comes out with, well, we're actually learning now that the brain can contain a whole lot more than we can put into it. And we're understanding that the brain works over here this way and over and over and over. And they really don't know much more than they did 30, 40, 60, 100 years ago because God created it. And man doesn't understand it. So He tries to explain it in ways He doesn't understand. But I know that the only way that I can be delivered from my ignorant place is to deny my ignorant flesh. And submit on my heart and my knees before the Lord. It's all about You, Jesus. You're my knowledge. You're my wisdom. You're my inspiration. You, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what I've got to have. These other things are basic humanism at its core. That's basically all it is. It's humanism at its core. It's saying that you can find everything you need within yourself. Placing salvation or freedom from ourselves upon ourselves. All you got to do is pull up your bootstraps. Everything's going to be all right. No. That's not what you got to do. You got to let those bootstraps hang down and get on your knees and say, Lord, I can't pick these up until You show me how to pick them up. I can't take another breath until You show me how to take that breath. I can't do anything that I want to accomplish in this world. I want to give it all to You. You pour into me what You want me to do. You give me the desire of my heart. And that scripture there that says, you know, if you have the desire of your heart, you know, He will give you, He will answer, He will give you whatever you need. He will, but He will change your desires when you're in relationship with Him. And it will no longer be, oh, I want that new car, I want that new home, I want this, I want that. It's going to be about, put all that aside, Lord, I want You. That's what He wants us to have. And when you come to that place, oh, He'll give you the desire of your heart. And more. And who knows? Maybe after you've given all of that other stuff up and you've submitted before the Lord, you may drive along in a new Cadillac because He chose to give it to you. But let Him be the one to decide. You know, don't put your desires of the world before the Lord. Put your heart before the Lord. And let Him fill you up in all that you need in relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, these men are persuasive with their words. They're very educated. But as Paul put it, they're educated according to the tradition of men. They're educated according to the basic principles of the world. And they're not educating according to Christ. I don't discourage people learning. One of my sons has a gift for wanting to learn. He's just like a, I don't know, he had to get it from his mama. And she did. She homeschooled him, so he picked that up from her. But he has a desire to learn. And my encouragement to him is learn and learn all you can, but filter what you learn through Jesus Christ. Filter what you learn through what the Bible teaches. Filter what you're gaining and pouring in to know that it's true and that it's not building against the Bible and the Word of God and the truth of God. Because if you do, or if you choose to do that, what you're doing is you're now starting to add to things that you're questioning. Well, wait a minute, you know, that makes sense. Well, it may make sense in the mind, but in the spirit, if you're in God, in relationship with God, you'll know it doesn't make sense because it doesn't align with God's Word. Let God's Word be your filter. Let it be your filter. You hear that? Well, what does the Bible say about that? Do you understand that? Yeah, but what does the Bible say about that? It will protect you. God's Word will protect you from all of the stuff that's coming at you from all different angles. So I encourage you to learn, but learn with a filter, knowing that the Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you and confirm in you what you need when you need it. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And 1 Corinthians 3:18-19 says, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness." They can lay all this formal knowledge stuff out that goes against God. And you mark my word, they will wind up tripping over themselves at some point. Because it can't add up. It has no substance. It has no power. It's just words. But they'll use those words to mess with your mind. That's why we need to know the Word. So we know when it's coming. We can hear it say, "That don't sound right. I'm sorry, that does not line up with the Word of God. So therefore, I'm out of here." And don't let it filter in after that. Now in contrast, Paul shows us that in Jesus, we find true godly wisdom. As we saw last week, Jesus wasn't a prophet who became enlightened. And I touched on that a moment ago. He didn't just come and all of a sudden wake up, "Hey, I've been enlightened." Well, that's what all the other religions claim that they've done. They've all claimed at some point that they were just walking along and boom, they got enlightened. So now this enlightenment comes to them as a man. Well, what's sustaining that enlightenment? If it just came to them one day, can it leave them the next? Do they have any source? I mean, where's the source of that? Oh, it's just, boom, it hit me. You know? Jesus didn't come and then become enlightened. Jesus is the light. He came. He brought the light. He is the light. John 8:12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Him being the light, it's in Him alone that we can become enlightened. Our enlightenment will not come from an experience. Our enlightenment will not come from something that we did. Our enlightenment only comes in relationship with Jesus Christ, period. Other than that, you can claim all the enlightenment you want, but you're still in darkness. Because Jesus is the light, and only He can shed light and spread light and give light to the point that He said, "If you believe in me, you are the light of the world." How can we be the light? The Holy Spirit of God is in us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God comes alive in us. It's the living Word. Therefore, we are the light to those around us who are living in a dark world. But it's really Jesus' light in us and through us that brings that true light. Paul continues in verses 9 and 10. He says, "For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power." And this is huge. Hear what it says here. You are complete in Him. You don't need anything else. There's nothing else that you have to gain in order to be complete in Jesus Christ. It's Him. It's Him alone. No philosophy, no new revelations, no adding, no taking away. It's in Jesus Christ. This is true freedom. To know that you can walk out of here today and you are in relationship with the light of the world, you're in relationship with the living Word, you're in relationship to God Himself, and it's all here, all now, all waiting on you to say, Lord, here I am. I need it. I want it. I desire it. I can't do it without you. I want to know you, Lord. Not about you any longer. I want to know you. I want to know what that means. I want to be in that relationship. This is huge. It brings a tremendous weight off your shoulders when you can wake up. And I'm going to speak to some believers this morning here too, who've been carrying something on their shoulders and carrying something in their mind and in their heart from their past that God has told you you no longer own. That sin, the darkest place, the one thing that sometimes people say, well, God, I know you love me, but how could you ever forgive that? How could you ever, Lord, that's the enemy. The enemy's trying to take away from you the reality that it does not matter what you did in your past. What matters is what you do in relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you get to heaven, as a believer, all of that other stuff is wiped away. All that's going to matter is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And in order for your name to be written there, you have to come to that place of yourself to say, I believe you, Jesus, over everything in my life. I believe you over every sin. I believe you over every action. I believe you over every hurt that I've ever brought to anybody in my life. I repent from that. I turn from that. And I'm telling you, you don't have to walk in bondage to sin. That's over and done with. It's done. Accept that freedom. Accept that freedom. The sad thing for a lot of believers or a lot of people in general is that they're not grasping this truth. They're not grasping how simple this is to walk in relationship. Some will say, before I can truly complete and be content or be complete and content, I have to have something else. Something's missing. Maybe if you're single, it's like, I need to be married. And believe me, if you're married, you should never come to the point, well, I need to be single. But you see what I'm saying? It's like, in our culture, not so much nowadays because of the women's movement and all the things that's you know, equality and all this stuff. But even in that, they don't truly believe it. They don't truly believe all that stuff. The fact of the matter is that a lot of people today feel they need somebody in their life in order to feel complete. A person, a human, or whatever. God wants to use you right where you're at. He wants to give you all you need right where you're at. And it's not about the person that you think you need. If you need a mate, God's going to give it to you. And once you get it, you best in your heart say, Lord, thank you. I praise you. I glorify your name. And you best be ready to give up your fleshly desires of what you expect from that person because you're not going to get it. It's only when both of them are on their knees before the Lord, and both of them are willing to repent, and both of them willing to be sacrificial in their heart before the Lord, can you find that the mate was given to you for the purpose of a helpmate for the man, the woman was given as a helpmate, but not to complete you. Jesus Christ completes you. He completes you. Some say, well, I got to get a better education. I don't feel confident to go out and to speak or to share or whatever. I just don't think I know enough. I got to have more education. No, you don't. You don't have to have an education. You don't have to have anything but a faith in Jesus Christ. And knowing that it's Him pouring into you the words that you will need. That's what Jesus said would happen. He said, when you're a believer, and after I'm gone and the Holy Spirit comes, when you're confronted with all of these things and people are saying all these things, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit Himself will give you the words that you need. And He will do that for you today. That's one of the benefits. That's what we have. Well, if I had more money, I could give more and do more. It's not about money. Give according to the way the Lord has led you to give. Be obedient to what you have. If you're obedient in the small things, He will make you faithful in the bigger things, in the greater things. If I had more rest, if I could sleep better, I could do this. If only I, you know, well, the rest comes from Him as well. He says, He will give you rest. He will give you rest. I need. You can fill in the gap there, or fill in the line if you want to, with many, many, many things that you think you need. Our flesh will come up with 100,000 or a million of them. And after you get that, you'll come up with another one. And after you get that, you'll come up with another one. Why? Because sometimes it's easier to say, if I had this, I could, rather than saying, I have this, I will. That's what God wants us to do. What do you have in you today? Are you a believer? If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now's the day. And you will have all that you need from this day forward. If you are a believer and you've not understood that this relationship outweighs religion, that the relationship with Jesus Christ is more important than anything you can do for Him, that the relationship is where you're going to find the power, the strength, everything that you need to accomplish what He's called you to do. It's all in Jesus. And again, you may say, is that really that simple? Yes. It's that simple. God's wisdom is so deep that only the simple who come as a child can receive it. Now that sounds like a contradiction too, doesn't it? Well, if it's that simple, or if it's that deep and that rich and that all of our wisdom, how can we understand it? Because you come as a child and you know the one who has all the answers. I would rather stand, if I were in a boxing ring, I would rather stand with the person in the corner of the ring that had all the answers of how to fight that battle and watch that left hook. Watch out for this. Watch out for that. Those guys that stand in the corner are probably more important in some cases than the guy in the ring. Because the guy in the ring is working on emotion. He's working on, whoa, this guy's better than I thought he was. What's going on? This battle's tough. And the guy in the corner says, look, he ain't all that tough. If you watch this, this is his weakness. Well, that's what you have in relationship with Jesus Christ. He's always in your corner. And He knows what the enemy's weakness is. And He knows what's coming in on the next turn. And He knows everything that's going to happen. And He can give you the wisdom to handle it as it comes. He's not going to give you tomorrow's wisdom, necessarily. Because tomorrow's problems will be what tomorrow's problems will be. Why have all the weapons that you need for tomorrow? They'll weigh you down as well. If you go in with a full arsenal of everything that you think you've got figured out for the next week, it's going to happen. You'll be so bogged down with thinking about all of that stuff, then empty your quiver and let Him fill it with today's weaponry and today's instrument, and let that be all you need. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Because God is of today and yesterday and tomorrow the same. He's always the same. He's not going to change. He's dependable. Even if we're not, He is dependable. It is that simple. The deep-thinking philosophical gurus, they can't accept it. They overthink it. They overthink it. It's over their heads. It's way over their heads. I stand before you this morning confessing that I'm pretty ignorant about a lot of stuff. I don't want to hear any amens. I already know. There's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things in God's Word that I can't fully explain. I don't understand. But I don't have any doubt that it's there for a purpose. And I don't have any doubt that there's no contradictions in the Word. If you find something that you say contradicts something in the Word of God, I can tell you this, it's only because you don't understand the full context of what's written on both sides of it. Because if you did, from the spiritual standpoint, you would see, oh, God worked that out in kind of an odd way, didn't He? Yeah. He's not bound by our way of doing things. He's not bound by what we think should be done and how we think we should do it. And that's the problem that these overthinkers have. They think they can figure out God. They think they can explain things they can't explain. So it's way over their head. So come as a little child. Jesus said, come to Me as a little child. And there you will find Me. There you will find the relationship. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. It's in relationship with Jesus Christ that spiritually He gives you what you need. So let's not spend so much time thinking and more time believing. You ever listen to the talk shows on the radios? A lot of people do. What are these guys? Every time, almost every time, well, I think this. And I think that. And I think. Well, quit your thinking, start believing in Jesus Christ, and you'll find your answers. It's not about what I think. It's about who I know. And ultimately, it's not about me at all. It's all about Him. I just want to be a willing vessel. Lord, use me today for what You choose and how You choose. And from there, it's all about You. I may not know exactly why I'm standing here on this corner. I may not know why this situation is coming my way. I may not understand the fullness of why I'm feeling what I'm feeling. But I'm putting my feelings down too. And I'm saying, Lord, I trust You. And I believe in You. And I choose to believe in You through faith, not by what I feel and what I think. It's who God is and what His Word says. We need to meditate on His Word, not what we think or think we know about His Word or about Him in general. And Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." And Psalm 119:97-105 says, "Oh, how I love Your law. It's my meditation all the day. You, through Your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for Your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep Your precepts. I've restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep Your word. I have not departed from Your judgments, for You Yourself have taught me. How sweet are Your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through Your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." That's what it's like to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. And this morning, you may have come, or you may be listening online this morning, expecting to hear the resurrection story. Well, Johnny gave it to us at the beginning of the service and worship. But you may have come to an Easter service or been to an Easter service, and that's, you hear the same story every Sunday. And a beautiful story it is. Don't get me wrong. We need to be in remembrance of what Jesus did for us, how He died on the cross and being raised the third day. Well, what a beautiful message. But I want us to each go away this morning. I want us to walk away this morning, not with another Easter story, but with what Jesus accomplished on and for your behalf. Understand, it wasn't a religious thing. It was a relational thing. He said it was finished when He died. What was finished? The work that God told Him to do. The Father said, "Go." And Jesus said, "I will go." The Father said, "Die," and the Son said, "Not my will, but Your will be done." He came in obedience to every word the Father spoke to Him to do. And truly, His obedience to the Father, taking all sin upon Himself so we wouldn't have to, was completed on the cross. But He wasn't done yet. He rose again. And see, He didn't just rise and disappear. He spent all this time with the disciples. He encouraged them. Many saw Him. Witnessed over 500 people witnessed Him. And witnessed Him before He ascended. Or witnessed His ascension into heaven. But He's now doing another work. The work was finished on the cross. His physical work was done. Now He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And He's interceding for us. And He's sending the Holy Spirit to encourage us. And He's making His Word alive in us. So we move way beyond the Easter story. And now we receive the fullness of Jesus Christ Himself and who He is and what He has for us. Wisdom. You want to be wise? It's in Jesus. You want to know stuff? It's in Jesus. You want to understand what's going on in your life? It's in Jesus. All of this is right in front of us. It's waiting for you. The question is, do you want to know Him? Or do you want to know about Him? Many people know about Him. or some things about it. And we've said this before. If you go out, and this has been done, they go on the street, and majority of the country still professes to be Christian, but when you ask what that means, so many answers come back at you. Oh, well, Jesus died, so I don't have to worry about it anymore. That was one I remember hearing. No, you don't have to worry about whether you're going to be with Jesus or not if you truly know Him, but just knowing that He did that, so I'm okay to live the way I want to, totally different story. That's not knowing Jesus. That's not believing in Him. That's saying, I've got a little fire insurance policy over here, but I'm going to live the way I want to. I don't want to submit to God. I don't want to trust. I don't want to believe. I don't want to read. I don't want to do all that stuff. I just want to know I'm saved so I can go out and party on Friday night. And a lot of people, unfortunately today, that's where they're at. They have no wisdom. They have no knowledge. They have no understanding because all they have is religion. Now, peace and joy and contentment is all in Jesus Christ. And the question in again is, do you know Him? Or you have you just heard the stories about Him? And again, Paul said in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. Not about Him. But I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now that took a lot of power from God to raise Jesus from the dead. There's power in the resurrection, just the fact that He came alive and He's up. Beyond anything that we can understand of how God does what He does. But hear me this morning. That power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not limited to His resurrection from the dead. It's now open to each one of us today who choose to know Him. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you. You have the living Word of God in your heart. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the church, not this building. And so understanding that, we're moving beyond the Easter story. We're moving beyond the story of Noah and the flood. We're moving beyond Joseph and how he became king of Egypt after all the persecution. We're moving beyond David and the giant. We're moving beyond all the wonderful testimonies. And those testimonies are true. And we can read those and understand that it was God's power that did all of these things. And that same power now lives in you, not for your disposal. It's for God to use in you when you're submitted to Him. And that's what we have. That's who we are in Christ. That I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection. And that's my prayer for you this morning. If you don't know Jesus, I'm asking you this morning, do you want to? And if you've had a casual relationship with Jesus, I'm asking you this morning, do you want to really know Him? Do you want to know? And I'm not talking about some big experience. Whatever the Holy Spirit does is up to Him. But I don't want to generate an emotional event. I don't want to generate something in your heart. I don't want to try to manufacture something through loud music and lights and shows and dances and all this stuff. I want the Holy Spirit to do what He's willing to do in those who are willing to let Him do it. And if that's what you want this morning, that's what I want you to ask for. Receive Him, know Him, receive the fullness of His power that He is available to you. Because He didn't stay in the grave. He rose again. And we're going to play a song. This is a song I wrote probably over 20 years ago. And we're going to play this song. And when I'm done, I'm just going to leave it up to the Holy Spirit. If you have a conviction in your heart, if you want to pray about something, if you feel like you need to recommit your heart and life to the Lord, that you really didn't understand what that really means, or if you've never accepted Jesus Christ at all, I want you to come down. I'm going to pray with you. And we're going to encourage you this morning. Go ahead. You need to turn off the K-Love before we play the CD. It's all going through the same channel. And while they're working with that, Father, we just love You this morning. And we thank You And we praise you. And we glorify your name. We just glorify the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord. May your Spirit even now begin to work in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus.